The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
One time this person had, they tattooed themselves. Like they were like, well, I have to show a tattoo or I'm going to get cut from the show. And so they,
you're pointing they like, to like a very,
my leg, my
oh,
leg.
It
not
looked
my
like
vagina.
Someplace else. It was not in a private part, everyone.
No.
They performed a tattoo on their leg.
Everyone's got their thing.
Hello, everybody, and happy Monday. And welcome to this week's episode of Fanatics, the Dexter episodes. I am Claire Kramer, of course, and I am here with my lovely and very charming, funny, beautiful co-host, David Magadoff. Hi, David.
Hi, Claire. Thank you for all that. I will receive it. I will live it, and I'm excited to be here today to talk about the most wonderful Katie Sullivan, who you know as Esther at the front desk at Iron Lake PD in Dexter New Blood. But before we even get to Katie.
There's so much to talk about Esther. Esther got thrown under the bus at the end of this episode a little bit.
Well, she did.
Yeah, I mean, this is a great episode. H is for hero. Episode 4, Dexter New Blood. What stands out to you in this episode, David?
What stands out is this is the episode, I don't know how you feel, Claire, as a fan watching, you know, I felt this is the first episode of the four that we really had suspense. Like, I felt like it got real serious this episode. Did you feel that way?
I mean, I thought it was a phenomenal episode. Each episode, I have not been disappointed yet at all. You know, I thought it was a phenomenal episode. Was it suspenseful to me? I don't know if it was, I would say suspenseful, because early on, there were like three different storylines happening in this episode. And really, to me, the whole episode was about alliances. So it wasn't as suspenseful as, let's say, episode 3, because I was very worried about, you know, Jim Lindsay moving Matt's body. In that episode, and finally he got it done, and that was good, and blah blah blah. But for this episode, it was more about the relationships and the psychological understanding of the dark passenger for me.
Yes, exactly. Which I think would be a little suspenseful.
True. I mean, yeah, it's especially good if watching it since you were there, you felt it was suspenseful. So that means that means the show really did their job. You were able to like step out of being an actor on the show and really enjoy the experience. So well done.
I think it totally did its job. I think in this one, what happened was everything's like going fine. It's Dexter. He has his issue. He killed Matt Caldwell. He's got to hide this thing. Things are starting to be okay again. And he just wants to be a dad. But now he discovers in this episode, oh, fuck, my son, he's got problems. And so I think it gets very real this episode for him. I think it's like, oh, no, it's like the problems just keep piling up, as a good television series should do by episode 4. And so I think it's really, you know, I just feel like he's really swimming in the suspense and swimming in the thrill of it, you know, which I think is great. I felt myself kind of leaning into the show more exactly and being a fan, you know, it really was special. Although I have to be honest, that day that we were there when Harrison got, you know, shivved by Ethan, so he says to us in the high school auditorium with the nutcracker pieces and stuff behind him, that was the silliest day on set we ever had. Like, we were all goofballs. Everyone was in like such a silly mood. I don't know what it was in the air. I think it was something about being on a high school theater auditorium. We really draw pictures of each other in the back. We like there was arm wrestling contests going on. I'm posting about it, but we did the silly video with the, like, there was like a magic, there was like a full size, like, hide the person magic trick box.
Oh, that's
in
funny.
The room, like an illusion, and we all played with that. It was a very goofy day, and watching it though, you would be like, that doesn't make any sense. You guys look so serious, and you guys, it was a terrible thing was happening.
Definitely the most serious we've seen Teddy, you know, and I could tell they had to add in a wild line actually when you ran up and you're like, they're working on him. And I could tell, yes, like that was a studio line, and then
it was.
Yeah.
They have this moment that they cut, unfortunately, and it was like me and, because I think they just wanted to cut for time and just get Michael Hall right into the auditorium, and nothing was going to stop him. But like, he stops me and I stop him, and I look at him and I just sort of see it in his eyes. I have a moment where I see like he is going to potentially hurt me if I don't let him through, like, even though I'm a cop. And so they cut that out and they just had me be acquiescing to him and let him come in. But yeah, it's a, you know, it's a not a good day when your son draws blood.
Well, you know, actually that reminds me of, at the end of the episode, there's a lot to discuss. So let's get into the nitty gritty. But at the end of the episode, Deb says, you know, he was born into blood just like you, mm-hmm. you know, and you're right. There is something, there's something about that being born into blood. We don't know what Harrison's dark passenger is. I mean, Dexter says he has the dark passenger like me. I don't think it's the same. I see a lot of differences. But speaking of, let's just rewind to the beginning of the episode. You know, there's a lot of alliances happening here, and one of them is this episode really is about learning who the killer is, who the guy who is locking these girls up and shooting them running out of the cabin is. And that, obviously, I was right. David, it was Kurt. I was correct. And you see, you know, it's revealed early in the episode. You see him talking to this young girl, another sort of transient girl in the diner. And I'm like, oh, right there. I know I'm right. And then by the end of the episode, you actually see him take her to the cabin, and you see the exterior shot of the two sort of basement barn doors that open up. So there's no question Kurt is the guy who kidnapped and at least shot that other girl, which leads me into my next resolution with the show, which is, why is he lying about Matt's death? Okay, David, he's lying about Matt's death and saying Matt's alive so he can pin the killings that he's actually committing on his dead son.
Oh.
That's what's happening. I am 100% on that. And
cannot be swayed.
I cannot be swayed. Well, maybe by the next episode, but right now, that's my hypothesis. The other interesting thing that happened, and this goes back to episode 2, there was a conversation where I think it was Mr. not Caldwell. What's the other guy's last name?
Olson, the billionaire.
Yeah, Olson.
Who does not show up.
Who's not in this episode. I did miss him a little bit, but I'm sure we'll see him again. Where Mr. Olson says, you know, hey, listen, that's the thing about people. They're full of hypocrisy, but that's not a bad thing. Well, that was again really addressed with Kurt and the relationship with Matt, and then paralleling Dexter and Harrison's father-son relationship. And then at the end, Kurt and Dexter have this moment where Kurt is saying, you know, my son wasn't good. It's really my fault. I should have raised him differently. I should have, you know, people have dark sides and they have light sides. And it's about in life, which side wins out. And you see Dexter like, they're like, ah, he's right. But the difference,
close to home,
the difference is Dexter with Harry had a code. He had a code to live by. And Kurt and Matt never developed that code. So they were just, you know, in other words, Matt was just a bad person, you know? And and Kurt is blaming himself now for not creating, what I'm seeing is for him not creating a code for Matt to live by and allowing him to just combust. But also Kurt is a bit of a, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? An opportunist. Because his son's dead. Oh, well, let me turn that into working for me and let me blame my own killings on him. So that's my takeaway of
solid takeaway, Claire Kramer.
The evolution of this episode, and there, I believe there is going to be some sort of an alliance. You know, there when the three Harrison and Dexter and Kurt were on the porch together, there was this interesting triangulation happening because, you know, Dexter sort of is the center evolved, you know, killer. And then Kurt, he's the one who hasn't quite figured it out and is really effing things up. And then Harrison is the young one who doesn't quite know where they fit in that scenario.
He comes over with the drone. He's very happy. You know, what's going on here? Why is he being so befriending to, you know, Jim's kid?
Yes.
You know, it's obviously fathers and sons. That's the theme of this whole
and alliances.
This whole series.
Well, let's not lose the drone. I mean, Teddy's known for the drone. So my thing is like, okay, is Harrison going to like team up with Teddy now? And are you guys going to be droning it out? Your drone's broken, right?
Who's to say? You know, I think, thank you, Claire, for bringing up the drone thing. I think it is a pivotal plot point that will keep rearing its head. It'll keep surprising us. And maybe that's going to be the secret to everything. I don't know. Maybe the drone gets its own spinoff. We'll see.
I think that is very possible that the drone will get a spinoff. Let me ask you another thing. So the other alliance that took place in this episode was between Molly and Chief Bishop. Deputy Bishop.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about
what's going
Jamie
on at the
Chung
station, just, Teddy. Tell us.
Well, Jamie Chung, first off, how wonderful is she just watching her on screen, coming in with her, you know, just...
First of all...
Making drinks on the desk.
It is about, you know, it is the perfect example of how wardrobe can accent and lend to a character, you know, because like when she was introduced in episode 3, they started with the boots and panned up and like, you know, she just is a stylish like podcast. She's exactly who you expect to see on the gram, you know.
She's not Iron Lake. She's literally big city walking into the small pond and it's fun. And she acts like the big city girl and says, you know, yeah, we slept together and, you know, it was great and all these things. And
I love that moment. I love that moment.
Yeah, she's just great. And she's charming and she's not a jerk. And I think that's what's great. She really does want to help, but she also wants to be an opportunist. And I think, I mean, that's what it's a whole bunch of, everyone's just self-motivated
well,
in this show.
Well, they each have assets to help each other. You know, you know, the station and the deputy, there's the content that Molly needs, but Molly has the resources that the station doesn't have with her social media following. So it's also an interesting commentary on how nowadays, you know, although justice is carried out in the courts, social media has its own brand of, you know, armchair sleuths and justice. So I'm interested to see that storyline as well.
I know, a lot's happening. We had a kill list and all the kids grouped up in the auditorium, which is such an interesting concept, which I think they handled well. And I loved, you know, Ethan's parents weirdly got to me. I loved just the father's moment where he's like, thank you for what you did and never go near my son. It'll be really interesting to see Harrison just keep evolving and what's going on here. Is Jim, a.k.a. Dexter, correct on this? And he created this whole experience. Does he have the dark passenger, or is he wrong? But you know, it's rare when Dexter is incorrect.
Well, you know, he's not incorrect. There is something weird going on with Harrison. You know, he set up this situation. He set up Ethan. He stabbed himself. I mean, that takes like, you know, some sort of dark something to do. But
well, what's interesting, Claire, I re-listened to the last episode and I remember you literally said, well, Harrison he's gonna have something, but it's not the dark passenger.
I feel like I'm right about this. I mean, okay. So we're still watching. Here's my last thing, David, that I want to like really find out from your perspective. The Deb character, the way the Deb character is being used in Dexter New Blood, right? You know, she at first is a warning beacon. And then, you know, the way they used Dexter's father, the whole first eight seasons or whatever was as his conscience and as his, you know, his barometer of good and bad. Deb is not that. Deb is like kind of trying to drive Dexter crazy. You know, she's constantly like, I don't know. She's like a pendulum swinging back and forth. I can't figure out what her purpose is in the show necessarily, other than to like kind of torment him, you know, because she's not being real friendly about, you know, Harrison and that relationship. I don't know. What's your perspective on that?
I think it's exactly what you said. I think it's a pendulum. I think it's mood driven. I think I can see how it can be really frustrating for some people, and that Deb should be a clear either angel on his shoulder or devil on his shoulder. And I think she's both. And I think that it's his mind. It's his vision. And so, you know, at the end of the day, it's his brain that is creating this. This isn't an actual spirit that is there. So from the brain of someone who has this, you know, dual personality and this constant battle of right and wrong and wanting to do the right thing and have a great life and try to be a quote unquote normal person, I think it makes sense that she's a little all over the place. And I think, to me, I really enjoy it.
Well, at least we get like such fabulous lines as fuck nuggets and that is Deb. If she were brought back for no other reason than to, you know, allow us those interesting little curse moments and colorful language.
And now let's get into our wonderful conversation with the wonderful Katie Sullivan. Esther, yes, Katie and I got to be such good friends on set because we had a desk that was 3 feet away from each other. And we had a good time. Another thing that kind of got cut out of this episode, I was holding the rubber band ball because Teddy is such a doof that he just enjoys rubber band balls. And she actually looks to Dexter and says, I think some her line just like, oh, what a time, you know, with what just happened with Ethan and Harrison. And there's another line that they cut from it that really made me laugh, where Esther says to Dexter, essentially, like, you know, I wish he just would finish the job.
Ooh.
Like, yeah. Like, Esther has a real little, like, mean streak in her. And they decided to cut that and make her a little more likable. And then, of course, they cut to me, Teddy, who looks at her like holding his rubber band ball. Like, this is a side of old Esther that we haven't seen. But you know Katie from such wonderful things like Station 19, Last Man Standing, My Name is Earl. She was a Paralympian, folks. Track and field athlete.
Way to make me feel lazy.
U.S. record holder. Such a fantastic human being. A good friend, and she loves and is going to talk about Ink Master, the series. So let's dive into not blood, but to ink. Katie, would you ever be a human canvas?
No.
I agree.
No. I think that these people are batshit crazy. That they are just like, yeah, sure, I'm open, do whatever. Like, this is on your body forever. And they also talk all the time about how hard it is to cover tattoos, which we can, there's a whole other aspect of all of this. No, I would never be a human canvas. And also, I have problems with the fact that they call them human canvases.
I mean, like, it's descriptive. I mean,
you get a very clear picture of what that is, but.
For those who don't know, Human Canvas from Ink Master. Why don't you give like a brief little, what is a human canvas? Also, what is the premise of the show for someone who may never have watched?
So Ink Masters is a competition reality show where tattoo artists compete for the title of Ink Master. And they get $100,000 and they get to be badass tattoo artists and famous and all that stuff. And a human canvas is the people who, I mean, you can't have a tattoo competition show without having the ability to tattoo something, someone. And that's where the human canvases come in. And they are literally humans who come in and are just like, do whatever. Like, you do you, bro. And I couldn't.
Where do they find these people? Are they already covered in tattoos, or are they really, truly canvases, like my body, which would be just a pasty white sheet for them?
Same. Some people are heavily tattooed. Like, some people are just, like, you know, sleeves, or they have tattoos. There have been times where there have been human canvases that are, this is my first tattoo.
Claire and I both went bug-eyed on that.
Yeah. I don't think I could, I think on my first tattoo, I would never want ultra high definition television recording my facial expressions and my tears. Like, I just don't think I could handle that.
This is so crazy. I have so much to talk to you about this, but just wrapping up the human canvas thing for a second. Have they ever had a human canvas who literally can't take the pain and the tattoo artist has to stop?
Yes. They call that tapping out.
Mm.
Yeah.
And so, which is also something I would be terrified that I'd be like, no, I'm tapping out. I can't do it. But yeah, so there have been people who are like, I can't handle it, or they can't finish or whatever. And there have also been instances where the artist and the human canvas don't jive and people have like walked out, like it left. And then one time this person they tattooed themselves. Like they were like, well, I have to show a tattoo or I'm going to get cut from the show. And so they.
You're pointing to like a very.
My leg. My oh, leg.
It
not
looked
my
like
vagina.
Someplace else. It was not in a private part, everyone. No. They performed a tattoo on their leg.
Yes. It was like, oh God, well, my human canvas walked out the door. So I guess I have to be my own canvas, which is just another level of awesome, but also like, wow, you have to look at this for the rest of your life and know that.
So is that part of the allure? Is like you're watching a show where people are making massive commitments to their body in front, like, and you know, it's just the phenomenon of like that sort of blind commitment and passion. I don't know. Is that part of the allure to you?
Yeah, I think that the fact that it is such a huge commitment to just like, yes, I mean, it's the ultimate yes. And like you can go on the Great British Baking Show and when you're done with that cake, like it's just a cake and it's, but like this, you walk home, you go home and this is on your body forever.
I want them to walk home though, Katie. I think they should.
Just like
no matter what.
That's a separate show, no, David.
That is like, I mean, and that's kind of like its own version of the like walk of shame. It's like I just got this really shitty tattoo. This is the other thing about the whole aspect of the show is that they have to do these tattoos, and some of them are massive, like a whole sleeve or a whole, like a big back piece or something. And they only have 6 hours. So these human canvases go into this knowing that there is a finite amount of time. And sometimes they are just like, no, I want, I want a whole gnome village and I want very detailed, like, toadstools, and this has not really happened, but like the specificity of like, no, and you're gonna give me all of these things, and they're like, okay, I have 6 hours. So like sometimes things don't get finished and sometimes things are rushed, which is, I'm sorry, it's not how you want to spend the rest of your life
with a half
and
eagle.
Does that 6 hours include the rest time? Or that's just like straight through 6 hours. What you get done, if you take 10 bathroom breaks, sorry. That's, wow. That's crazy.
As far as, who's to say how real reality television is? And that is a whole thing in itself. But they say 6 hours. And it seems to be, because in a recent episode I just digested, was a woman who kept going to the bathroom. And her tattoo artist was like, I'm not going to finish. Yeah. She's like, what are you doing in there? And she's like, peeing. Like,
how dare she? Katie, how big of a fan are you? I mean, how many seasons are there? How many have you watched? Have you ever watched twice? What is your interaction with Ink Master?
So I think there's like, I don't actually know the number of seasons because I'm not done yet. That's the greatest part. It's like finding something and then like getting to just be like, this goes on for like 12 or 15 seasons. Like, that's amazing. I'm on season 7. It's kind of all consuming in my life right now.
There are 13 seasons of it. So you're 13, halfway.
13. Yeah.
What a treat.
So there's so much more. And yeah, I do think I probably would watch something again. Like, it seems like something I would be like, for just background noise, like, yeah, I could, the buzzing of somebody getting a tattoo. And this is really embarrassing to admit to, like, the world.
Why?
Because I'm such a nerd. I have zero tattoos myself. And, like, I have, like, I don't, I just think they're so, it's, people that are, like, all tatted up, I think, is so cool. Yeah. And, like, I would, and I can't commit to that sort of situation. Except I have, like, a whole Pinterest board dedicated to all the tattoos that I want to get.
Wow. That's fun. So what would you get if you could get one?
I mean, I've thought about a couple of different things. There was a period of time where I was thinking about getting the word bionic tattooed on, because I am a double amputee and I wear legs that have computers in them. And I'm kind of more of a cyborg than bionic. It's not like man and machine. So like, so it's technically like, am I technically bionic? Not really.
Well, I mean,
I think you're describing, okay, not only the bionic part and that whole quandary you're having yourself, you're describing what everyone goes through when they're trying to identify their tattoo. You know what I mean? Like, am I really this, like, does this really represent me? I'm wearing it for the rest of my life. Like, ideally, yeah. I won't cover it up. I won't have to get it removed. It's like, there's something about that kind of commitment, which again, like, I haven't watched the show, but when I realized this was your topic and started reading about it, I absolutely know what I'm going to be doing for the next 3 months of my life. You know, it's binging this show because there's, I'm not willing to do that. I have a couple small tattoos. I don't have any like massive tattoos. And so
What do you have?
I have a butterfly on my back and I have a small like angel on my foot. Both I got within like 6 weeks of each other when I was like 17.
Okay. Yeah.
In, you know, one in Hawaii, one in New York. But since then, I've never like been like, I've wanted more, but I haven't had, I'm not able to commit to that level of, you know, of self-commitment. So I get like the questioning of what like bionic is that, and then it takes you down a rabbit hole, you know, every tattoo, I bet. What else is on your Pinterest board? I'm curious.
So I also had a thing for a little while where I liked the idea of like birds in flight, but that feels very kind of cliche in a lot of ways. But the one that I actually think I'm going to get, like I feel like I'm committing to actually doing this, is which is why it's so ridiculous that I watch this show, is that like I should just go get a tattoo. Like I should just, I could go right now. Like we could end this podcast and I could go get a tattoo.
But we can't. But we won't. Need to know more though. Katie, all right. How often are you watching? How long has it taken you to get through the 7 seasons? Are you watching once a week?
No, it's kind of you know, a couple episodes. It's like when you have some free time, you know, like or cooking food or something like that. Well, I'll put it on. It's been a pandemic. It's a pandemic. It's a COVID interest. Right. I mean, tattoos have been an interest longer, but this obsession has sort of helped me get through COVID.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's the origin story? When did it start? How did you get turned on to Ink Master?
You know, it was just sort of one of those like suggestions on like, you know, all of the fact that all of these computers and algorithms know everything about us. And they're like, you know what? You would like this. And I was like, yeah, sure. I'll check that out once. And then it was like I lost 3 days, you know, because I couldn't stop.
How much did you binge in that first sitting?
Probably half a season.
Wow.
Like, I mean, with that, like, and then being like, oh, I should probably cook dinner.
But what was the hook? So, eventually. Like, you're watching, and what was the thing that made you go, oh, fuck, this show is got me?
Anybody that has that sort of artistic ability is amazing to me, to see these people draw these things. And, like, the difference between, like, people who can, like, freehand and, like, do some beautiful thing and people who have to, like, do a stencil, or not a stencil, but like Photoshop something from the internet, which is would be my version of doing something, because like I can draw stick people, and like that's about it, my artistic ability.
You can do my tattoo. So I'm perfect.
Yes, right. Just like
that's all I need. That's all I need.
I just be like, what did you? What was the origin story of this tattoo? It's like, nah, it's just Katie. That's all she could do. So like, I just got a stick person.
I have a friend who literally lets her kids draw on her arm, and then she goes and gets tattooed.
Oh,
yeah,
that's amazing.
It's all on her left side for some reason. She's right-handed, but it's all on her left side, through like down her fingers and like her whole arm. And then one time, like her kid's like, "Oh, can I color your arm?" And she's like, "Okay." And I see her like put up her arm, and her kids are like coloring like a coloring book. It's crazy.
That's fun.
That's crazy.
That's amazing.
It's cool.
I mean, has she done that more than once, where they're like draw something and then she goes and gets it tattooed?
Yes. And same with her husband. And they were not tattoo people for like, they had no tattoos 10 years ago. So this is all like a recent, and there's something I think, and does the show address this? There's something like addicting when you're getting a tattoo, like you want more, right?
100%. I feel like that might be one of the reasons why I'm like hesitant to pull the trigger on getting one, is because I feel like I would have a hard time.
So you're gonna Mike Tyson yourself stopping. Next time we see you, have a wraparound like, face tattoo,
just like a face tattoo.
Tears.
I think my agency might have a problem with that. They might be like, it might be hard to cover that for your next acting job. I feel like that's where these human canvases get to the point where they are like, yeah, do whatever, I'm open. There was one point where they were talking about the person who came in and it was their first tattoo. And it was just like, you think so long about that first tattoo that you get, and you Pinterest board it, and you think about all these things. And then after you've gotten a few, like you're just sort of like, yeah, I'm open. But like, people will show up to do this show and it's like, okay, so we're going to do a melting zombie face. And, you know, it's this girl that looks like me, and she's like, yeah, that sounds great. And it's just like, what if you don't want a melting zombie face on your leg for the rest of your life? It's fascinating to me. I just think that in that same way, I'm like, you know, let your kids draw something on their arm and then just go tattoo it. It's like, what is that?
Such a commitment.
What is that? That people that are just like, yeah, whatevs.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm a commitment phobe. That's what I'm realizing.
Same.
I mean,
yeah.
Katie, it sounds like you really love the artistry and the intricacy and the detail they do. That sounds like what it really hooked for you, and just seeing, oh my gosh, how beautiful this really is. And I think that's pretty darn cool. Is there a contestant that you really connected with over the first 7 seasons that you're like, that guy really, or that girl really struck a chord for me, and I loved exactly their beautiful things they did?
You know, more than one particular person, I always feel like I'm rooting for the women so much, because it is such a it leans a bit
male.
Male. It leans a bit.
Let me help you.
It's just male. A little mis.
Boys.
It can, that whole industry, it seems a little bit. Can be lean a little misogynist. And even one of the judges is a bit like, okay, sweetie, like, let me tell you what's wrong with your tattoo. And so like, I always am like rooting for the women, and I feel like they get, like, even in this, okay, the particular season I'm watching right now, there's more women on this season than I think there ever has been.
Right.
And they're really talented, like really great artists and really good at, you know, the whole thing. But the male contestants keep calling them girls. Mm. Like, oh, the girls. And I'm like screaming at the television. I'm like, they're women. They are not girls. Like, what about them looks like girls to you? And so I feel like, you know, for me, it's more about like rooting for the women contestants on the show, because I feel like it is such a male-dominated industry in general.
Okay, so the style on the show, the judges, the canvases versus the inkers, like what dynamic sort of is your favorite and maybe your least favorite about those different aspects?
In earlier seasons, they had more guest judges, which I really kind of dug. They had like women guest judges come in and things. But normally it is two tattooer judges, a guy named Oliver Peck and a guy named Chris Nunez. And Nunez is the one that's a bit, I feel like he's a bit misogynist.
So you're team Oliver?
I'm a little team Ollie, yeah. And but then Dave Navarro is the host. And who doesn't love Dave Navarro? He like seems like such a nice guy.
Are you saying that facetiously? He's Red Hot Chili Peppers, no. Dave Navarro. Is he really charming on the show or is he a douchebag?
Jane's Addiction? Isn't he Jane's?
Both.
Jane's Addiction? Oh. No, he seems like the kindest person.
Oh, great.
Like I would like to have a beer with Dave Navarro.
Oh, great. Our producer just chimed in that he is legit awesome. Our producer, Elizabeth, by the way, adores Ink Master.
Yeah. Oh, good. See? I'm not.
Oh,
I'm
no. You are not. I don't. That's deep. Why I'm trying to understand why you're embarrassed or think it's weird that you love this show. It's been on for 13 seasons, Katie. A lot of people
Somebody likes it. Someone likes it. Yeah. So, no, I think it's just, I guess I just feel like I should have a tattoo, at least a tattoo.
Why? Like I don't like baking, and I watch baking shows.
Good point, Claire.
You know?
That's a very good point. Maybe it's kind of the aspect of, like, voyeurism. Like, I don't know much about this world, so it feels, like, cool to, like, see the inside of it more. And, like, I think I've walked into one tattoo parlor in my whole life, and, you know. That.
Well, there is something about like that permanent commitment and also that like, I don't know, it just in my perception of like the tattoo artists seem free, I guess you could say. You know what I mean? And that's a big canvassing wrong statement, I'm sure. But from an outsider's perspective, that's what I think. I think like, wow, they're such an artist. They're free. They're willing to do whatever for their art. They create on other people, which is crazy, you know? So I get it. But here's my question. Earlier you mentioned about the reality aspect of the show, and we don't necessarily know how much like reality is, like maybe there's things that are planned. Does that bother you at all when you're watching, or are you just like suspension of disbelief? I'm into the storylines. I'm good.
I feel like you can see producers sometimes on the show. Like you can definitely feel the hands of like two people that hate each other are just happen to be sitting in the like lounge by themselves together. Like that didn't happen. Like somebody was like, hey, go sit down and talk to Skip. You think he's an asshole. Like go, you know, tell him what you think about his tattoo. So like I could do without the like they live in a house together. Like I could do without that part of it. I'm really just interested in the art making. I don't care for the drama. I'm not interested.
Let's face it. People have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
How about the spinoffs? Have you gotten into the Ink Master Angels Redemption Grudge Match?
haven't gotten that. I'm excited to continue my journey. I haven't gotten
a lot to look forward to. And what's the tattoo that I do? I think I interrupted you earlier. What was the tattoo that you had decided on that if you are going to get one?
Yes. So I'm going to get an arrow, like where you would like pull a bow and arrow back, like right here, like an arrow. And for two reasons. One is...
She's pointing out her wrist, by the way, just to be super
clear.
Oh,
I'm so sorry. Yeah. I'm so sorry. Yeah. On my left wrist, I think, is where the location. It's where I wear my watch. So, like, it's a problem. Like, this is how much I think about these things. Anyway. But the reason is my mom, when she was in college, read a poem, and she always talked about how it influenced her about the kind of mother she wanted to be. There was a poem that was like, a parent is... like the bow and your children are the arrows, and the best thing you can do is point them in the direction that you hope they go, and then you let go. So like I have the idea of getting, because I'm her arrow. That. But yes. Yeah. So like it really means something. And like, you know, the other stuff is sort of like, yeah, whatever. But that's the problem, is that I get that and then I'm going to be like, and now I do this.
Claire's going to put little arrows on all her four little ones now.
I just love that idea of like you can do as a parent, like you can, you know, you can
point.
You can only point them in the direction that you hope they go. And then they're on their own, you know?
Yeah. So it's scary. It's crazy. I love that. I love the arrow, though.
I told her that I was going to do this, and she just sent me a necklace that is an arrow. And she goes, there's your tattoo. I don't think she wants me to do it.
She's like, here, so try like, this. How about a keychain?
She's like, what about a necklace? How about, you know, something you realize, that's not like, permanent?
Until you get that tattoo, every gift from your mother is going to be like a sweatshirt with an arrow on it, like yes. A pair of arrow earrings. Like,
Katie, are there people in your life that love the show like you do? Like your husband, is he into it? Mom, do you talk about it with people, or is this something that just sort of lives in your head and this is the first time you're talking about it?
No. Scott, my dude, is as into it as I like. We're down the rabbit hole together, and he's even talked about like if he has no tattoos as well, and he's changed his mind from like I would never get a tattoo to like he wants like a whole back piece. But of like Cthulhu, who is, he's like a fish monster. He's a god. He's a god. I don't know. I knew as soon as I said Cthulhu, I shouldn't. I was like, back up.
No, teach us of Cthulhu.
So apparently he's this god that lives, he's like kind of like a kraken. And
like the new Seattle NHL hockey team.
What? Wait,
the new Seattle NHL hockey team. They've called it. They're calling it the Kraken.
Oh yes,
got a big logo of these big giant tentacles. Is this sort of what we're looking at? He wants.
Yes, yes, tentacles and like kind of a like an octopus and a scary god had a baby. Like that's
he needs more than Cthulhu. 6 hours. He definitely, he definitely needs more than 6 hours. You're gonna have to do some research. So which Ink Master from all the seasons would you pick to give you your tattoo?
Oh gosh, I don't know. I think that's too hard of a question. I think I would. There are people that he's really like. There was a contestant named Craig that he was like, I would have Craig do my Kraken. But I'm like, I don't know. I feel like to me it's, you know, part of it is that these people are like, I would get, there's a woman judge that came on, I forget her name at this point, but she's Australian. And I think I would go to her because like these are people who are like, they're the ones you call in to say, judge this tattoo.
Right.
Instead of the people who are like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to. Slap some ink on this person.
Well, you know what's interesting is the show has brought like the art form into the public eye. Whereas before, I feel like unless you've actually gotten a tattoo or worked in a tattoo parlor, you don't really know. But there's such a history behind like the inking of humans and human skin. That's the fascinating part as well, I think.
100%. And I feel like I've also learned so much about different styles. Like I didn't know there were things like new school and like American traditional, and like there's all these like very specific styles of tattooing that I was like, oh, a tattoo, it's a tattoo, like you, but that is not the case.
Which is the style that you dig the most?
I'm really into black and gray, like very fine line, like detail. And that's kind of the people I like follow on Instagram and stuff are like, it looks new. It, you know, they're not these big blotchy, like dark tattoos. They're very like dainty and stylized. And
that's the style I see for your arrow.
And I agree.
And I think if you get it like actually like a further up your arm, like right here, this part,
yeah.
I think you're good. Yeah. Because that's the part, actually, when you're shooting, my guests and I do archery, that's where you pull back from. So, and that's the release, because you always bruise that area.
So, like mid?
Yes.
Forearm?
Elbow to wrist.
Yeah, that's interesting, because, you know, it's funny, I've been thinking so much about my wrist, but this sounds really dark, but, like, if you do a tattoo, like, right here, it's kind of like where you
cut
slay
yourself.
Your wrist.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, I also think about that.
But if have you ever shot a bow and arrow?
I have.
Okay, so
you're
then
right.
You know,
this that's is like, where you get.
This
yeah,
is the part.
Get,
so then
you
so
have to wear that leather thing on your arm so you don't get hurt. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I love
you're
it.
You're right.
Katie, if there was no competition, would you watch the show?
Yes, I would. I don't care about the like money or who wins or whatever. Like, I'm more interested in just like seeing these people do their thing and cool. seeing their artistic skills. Unbelievable. Some of these artists are just incredible.
Okay, so let's do a quick rapid fire of tattoo yeses and nos based on your own preferences. And from watching the show, okay? And David, feel free to jump in here because I really only have a couple, but I'm interested. Let's start with one I mentioned earlier. Face tattoos, yes or no?
No.
Portrait tattoos of dead loved ones?
No, no, no. Hard pass, no.
Tattoos where you're matching with somebody. Like if only the two of you were together, does it make sense?
Like the friendship necklaces that have to be put together.
I would say not something that doesn't make sense unless they're together, because that I'm way too type A for that, like to have something that's like not fully done. But I yes on like matching. Mm-hmm. I'm down with matching tattoos.
Quotes.
Mm.
That's a tough one. Probably no.
How about a sleeve? Do you like a sleeve?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Carpe diem or mi casa, su casa. Different language.
No.
Live, laugh, love.
No. No. God. No. Like, even just no.
All right. Okay, Katie, I think I know the answer, and I think we've been hearing you right, it sounds like it's an escapism for you, but why would you say, in your own words, you really love the show? If you had to like psychologically 101 analyze yourself of why do I like this show?
I think it comes down to a combination of how talented these people are and also the fascination of people just do that commitment to just being open to doing something that's with you for the rest of your life.
Yeah, that commitment is pretty, that's pretty hardcore. It's not, you don't get to get rid of that. That's what I was thinking when I was buying my wife her engagement ring. I remember being like, she loves design, but this is going to be on her finger at all. A lot Every of different day. Stages of life. And I know she's going to have different thoughts. And I really got her the simplest thing I could. And she constantly tells me, she's like, it's not what I would have gotten, but it is exactly what I need. And I was like, cool. She's like, you knew That's me better lovely. Than I knew myself. And I was like, okay. But tattoo, she's now thinking about getting a tattoo and thinking the same thing. Like, it's a very clean sounding tattoo because she's like, I don't know what's going to look like in my brain in 10 years. And I'm going to hate this thing on my body.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
And I also think like where you do it, like, I'm not so certain about like abdomen tattoos, like things Regretful. That aren't like you get something on your wrist or you get something on your forearm or even your shoulder or things like that. Like that body part's not going to change all that much. Maybe.
That's why I think your partner's onto it with the back tattoo. He doesn't have to look at it.
No.
Like only you.
But I think but it's good placement, like between his shoulder blades. And he would know that Cthulhu always has his back.
I love that. Like.
Katie, it's been a pleasure. Yeah. If you'd be so kind to finish this beautiful Ink Mastered podcast with a love letter to the series that you love.
Dear Ink Master, oh, how you have gotten me through a global pandemic. The ways are immeasurable. The time that I cannot leave my house, but I can feel like I am exploring the world and exploring a world that I know nothing, have known nothing about. And the amount that I have learned in this voyeuristic, fun way has been super awesome. I feel like I have grown and I feel more I feel like I could actually commit to doing a tattoo after spending all this time with you. So thank you. P.S. Dave Navarro, let's get a beer. Love, Katie.
I love it.
Claire, do you look at your tattoos right now and have any regrets or absolutely not?
No, I don't have any regrets. I don't have any regrets at all because it was a certain time in my life. Also, the placement that I mentioned for Katie's partner is also from my own experience. I don't have to look at my tattoos. One is on my back, the other is on my foot. I don't spend all day looking at them. So that being said, no regrets. What about you, David? You don't have tattoos, but what would be the thing that would like, I mean, you're married. That's a big commitment. What would be the thing that would push you to get a tattoo?
I think someone would have to pay me a lot of money because I don't trust who I'm going to be in the future to such a degree because I do like change a lot. And I know that if I had a tattoo like on the forearm, which is everyone wants to get these days, this is the thing. My friend got a little churro done on his forearm because he loves churros. I would put something there. I probably would put, I don't know what I would put. I've never thought about it. I'm looking at my forearm and thinking for the first time in my existence what I would put as a tattoo. And I'm coming up blank.
And which Ink Master would you have tattoo you? Now, this was a tough question for Katie. She ended up going with the Australian guest judge. But do you have a particular contestant over the series, or you don't really know him well enough, or what are you thinking?
I don't know him well enough, so I would just go with whoever's the best. I just want whoever didn't fuck up. whoever has
well,
not...
you could pick the fuck up the least, I guess.
Yes. Like
yeah, I know.
I just want, because that, I can deal with the pain, I can deal with everything. The idea of them messing up, I think, scares me so much, because...
That's where the money comes in. We got to pay you to push down that fear. So how much would it be? Like $500,000? Is that getting me a David tattoo?
I think you could get, I think you can give me an angel on my foot tattoo to go with you, Claire. I think an angel on my foot for $25,000.
That's not bad.
I could really do something with that 25 grand. I'll be smart about it. So I don't. So Bitcoin. If you're all thinking just 25 grand, I'm putting that towards an investment property, a rental somewhere, maybe some cryptocurrency. So guys, just know it's enough of a seed money for the angel on my foot. That would be.
What about? Okay. What about? I really just this. You know, I'm gonna have to stop myself here and not continue on with this line of questioning because I really just want to ask you about every body part and see how the price changes.
We can do that after the pod.
Yeah, we'll do that off air. Either way, Ink Master is such an interesting show. And yes. I am grateful that it has brought the art of tattooing.
Yes.
I said that on the podcast, but there's not a lot of like study of the history and the art. And so that's what fascinates me as much as watching the contestants.
I think there's a beauty and a bravery to sitting in that chair and having someone work on you and to walk out of that and putting it out there. It's a statement. It's individuality. It's all the things that Katie loves about it that I do actually respect in so many people who do get tattoos, even 17-year-old Claire with the butterfly and the angel, because it still takes guts or it takes a night of heavy drinking. Either or.
I'm not drinking.
See?
I did not drink at 17.
You got guts, and I appreciate that. And I appreciate that about you every time we're on this podcast, Claire. So
thanks.
It's been a pleasure. And guys, I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. And like, subscribe, follow, all the verbs.
If you did, get a tattoo, a Fanatics tattoo.
Yes.
You know?
Forget liking,
the logo,
following.
The star, my face. It's up to you. You know, we dissed like portrait tattoos a little, but I'm open if it's me.
Definitely get Claire's face. Do not get my face if you want friends. So, see you next week.
Bye, guys.
And before you guys go, let me tell you about who's on next week. Oh, I actually can't tell you. Why? Because it's a very special guest. Very special. And I can't say anything more. So does it have to do with Dexter? Yeah, probably. So continue with us on the Fanatics Dexter episodes next Monday. See you then.
Thank you for listening to Fanatics, a Roddenberry podcast. For more episodes and info, head over to wearefanatics.com or tweet your Fanatics thoughts and stories at wearefanatics.
Yes, that's We Are Fanadicts. Our show is hosted by Claire Kramer and me, David Magadoff.
Produced by me, Claire Kramer, and Kelsey Goldberg. Executive producers Trevor Roth and Rod Roddenberry.
Our sound engineer and editor is Elizabeth Joy Windham. And you can thank Stephen Mudd for our theme song.
Catch us next Thursday for another Fanatics episode.
I want to be a human canvas today.
I don't think you do, David.
I want to be a human canvas, hooray.
If they listen to the podcast, they know you don't even have a tattoo.
Come on, let's do it. Bring it on.
All right, that one's okay.
How powerful is Cox Internet? Powerful enough to let your band members in Vegas, Phoenix, and Rhode Island jam like you're all in the same garage. Get gig speeds powered by fiber from Cox. It's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, always building better. Download speeds up to 1 gigabit per second. Cox internet is connected to the premises via coaxial connection. Speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms and other restrictions may apply.